Graydon House and Harper Audio present Lady Sunshine, a novel by Amy Mason Doan, performed by Anne Marie Gideon. June. 1. A Girl, Her Cousin, and a Waterfall, 1999. I rattle the padlock on the gate, strum my fingers along the cold chain-link fence. I own this place. Maybe if I repeat it often enough, I'll believe it. All along the base of the fence are tributes. Shells, notes, sketches, bunches of flowers. Some still fresh, some so old the petals are crisp as parchment. I follow the fence uphill, along the coast side, and stop at a wooden, waist-high sign marking the path up to the waterfall. It wasn't here the summer I visited. The sign is covered in words and drawings, so tattooed over by fan messages that you can barely read the official one. I run my fingertips over the engravings. Initials, peace symbols, thank yous, I love yous, fragments of favorite lyrics. After coming so far to visit the legendary estate, people need to do something, leave their mark, if only with a rock on fog-softened wood. Song titles from my uncle's final album, 3, are carved everywhere. Heart, home, hope, leaf, shell, raindrop, angel, lion, willow. Someone has etched that last one in symbols instead of words. The angel refers to Angela, my aunt. The lion is my Uncle Graham. And the willow tree. Willa, my cousin. I have a pointy metal travel nail file in my suitcase. I could add my message to the rest. My own tribute to this place. To the Kingstons. To try to explain what happened the summer I spent here. I could tell it like one of the campfire tales I used to spin for Willa. This is the story of a girl, her cousin, and a waterfall. But there's no time for that, not with only 7 days to clear the house for sale. Back at the gate, where Toby's asleep in his cat carrier in the shade, I dig in my overnight bag for the keys. They came in a FedEx with a fat stack of documents I must have read on the plane from Boston 12 times. Thousands of words, all dressed up in legal jargon. When it's so simple, really. Everything inside that fence is mine now, whether I want it or not. I unlock the gate, lift the metal shackle, and walk uphill to the highest point, where the gravel widens into a parking lot, then fades away into grass. The field opens out below me just like I remember. We called it the bowl, because of the way the edges curve up all around it. A golden bowl scooped into the hills, rimmed on 3 sides by dark green woods. The house, a quarter mile ahead of me at the top of the far slope, is a pale smudge in the fir trees. I stop to take it in. This piece of land I now own. The sandcastle, everyone called it. Without the neighbor's goats and Graham's guests to keep the grass down, the field has grown wild, many of the yellow weeds high as my belly button. Willa stood here with me once and showed me how, from this angle, the estate resembled a sun, the kind a child would draw with a happy face inside. Once I saw it, it was impossible to unsee. The round, straw-colored field, trails squiggling off to the woods in every direction like rays. The left eye, the campfire circle. The right eye, the blue above-ground pool. The nose was the vertical line of picnic benches in the middle of the field that served as our communal outdoor dining table. The smile was the curving line of parked cars and motorcycles and campers. All that's gone now, save for the pool, which is squinting, collapsed, moldy green instead of its old bright blue. I should go back for my bag and Toby, but I can't resist. I move on, down to the center of the field. Far to my right, in the woods, the brown roofline of the biggest A-frame cabin.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?